I shall read from Helen M. Wright's book, Mary Baker Eddy Reveals Your Divinity. Continuing an examination of the first edition of Science and Health. Dedicated to my beloved husband, Bill, and to all spiritually minded readers. All quotations are from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures and Prose Works by Mary Baker Eddy. Quotations from other works will be named. Introduction. Important. The world today is looking for a larger and truer version of what Christ Jesus taught. It is looking for that which will solve the basic human problems of tension, fear, worry, inferiority, loneliness, and doubt. What has survived in churches as Christianity is a mere caricature of what Jesus taught and demonstrated 2,000 years ago. He who came to give you joy which no man taketh from you, that your joy might be full, said that when we understand his teaching, we can do greater work than he has done. He meant what he said. He fed the multitudes, healed the sick, raised the dead, walked on the water, stilled the tempest, and performed many other wonders because he had overcome a material sense of the world, or what Mrs. Eddy called hypnotism, animal magnetism. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus never thought of himself as different from you and me. He spoke of himself as, quote, a man, just as you are, that has told you the truth. That's from John. This truth that Jesus demonstrated had, until the advent of Mary Baker Eddy, been regarded by the churches as just pure transcendentalism. Before Mrs. Eddy's time, religion was largely a matter of creed and dogma, of sentiment and emotion. Little was known of infinite good's true nature. Mrs. Eddy's great revelation and discovery changed all that. She saw and explained the true spiritual meaning of what Jesus so faithfully demonstrated, and which she too was able to demonstrate because of her innate purity and spirituality. Only when mankind rises to the secret place of the Most High will the great work on earth of Mary Baker Eddy be fully understood and appreciated. She rose entirely above the human mind, revealing man's true mind to be God, and man's true identity to be one with God. She saw that the kingdom of God within you, within your consciousness, expresses itself as idea, to which all good is possible. Her doctrine was not hers, but his that sent her. So fierce was the opposition of old theology to her revelation and teaching, that it is beyond the present sense of mortals to comprehend what it cost her to found this truth in human consciousness. Her strength came from the conviction that the cause was truth's cause, not hers, that she was sharing with humanity a vision of spiritual reality. This lifted her above anxiety and a sense of human frailty. Today, proportionately as we understand the science of our being set forth in her writings, we will eventually do greater works than the miracles Jesus performed. The reason we are not yet doing the greater works is because we have not understood our divinity. We have not yet understood what we really are here and now as God beings, or, having glimpsed it, we, as St. James says, straightway forget what manner of man we are. The truth that Jesus demonstrated, and which Mary Baker Eddy explained and demonstrated, namely, that mortal body and material man are delusions that spiritual understanding destroys, like the truth of the multiplication table is straight and narrow. It doesn't tolerate any deviation, But again, just as 2 times 2 equals 4, its application is infinite. Because Jesus had the right answer, from which he did not deviate, namely, that man is spiritual. He had complete dominion in the so-called physical as well as the mental realm. Mrs. Eddy saw that mankind's great difficulty lies in ignorance of what God, infinite good, is, and wrote, "Immortal mind, governing all, must be acknowledged as supreme in the physical realm, so-called, as well as in the spiritual." But, as the Apostle says, "If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." This thought of human material nothingness, which science inculcates, enrages the carnal mind, and is the main cause of the carnal mind's antagonism. Notwithstanding this opposition, Jesus firmly insisted, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing." The real you, the I of you, existed before Abraham. "Lo, I am with you always," and has nothing to do with the flesh. This is why Mrs. Eddy said the healing of the flesh of physical disease, quote, "is only the bugle call to thought and action in the higher range of infinite goodness." The emphatic purpose of Christian Science is the healing of sin. Materiality, all that hypnotism, using the 5 physical senses as its avenue or vehicle, causes you to see and believe in, sickness, poverty, loneliness, and discord of any kind, unquote. Before Mrs. Eddy discovered the science of the Christ, organized religion had decreed that Adam, not God, or divine mind, was our progenitor, that man was mortal, material, and subject to sin, sickness, and death. Mrs. Eddy forever liberated humanity from that bondage. Jesus said, "If we know the truth, it will free us from every trouble." But this truth includes the practice of it. "If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them." John 13. The truth is that man, the visible you, is not a matter body, an object living in time and space, and subject to the conditions the physical body sets up. The truth is, you are a God being, as big as God, since you are God's image and likeness, and thus have dominion over all the earth. Both Jesus and Mrs. Eddy insisted that the purpose, the essence of their teaching, was not physical healing, but love for God and man. Here it should also be remembered that in the Journal of June 1892, Mrs. Eddy made it clear that the name Christian Science should not apply just to a particular class of people called Christian Scientists. "It will be seen by the careful reader," she said, "that whatever partakes of eternal truth is Christian Science." This is why Mrs. Eddy said she did not find her authority for Christian Science in history, including the works of Christ Jesus, but in Revelation. All that the heart of humanity has cried out for since the beginning of time lies in an understanding of what Jesus demonstrated, and Mary Baker Eddy also demonstrated and explained in her writings. Understanding has always been the answer. It is the answer today. It will always be the answer. We attain it by growth hourly, by forever getting nearer love that is love. Universal divine presence and power, alias might and dominion, first over the body, then its reflection is dominion over the earth. Mary Baker Eddy's scripture-fulfilling dynamic first edition of Science and Health was launched in a world steeped in the long night of materialism. Through the mind of Mary Baker Eddy, the rays of infinite truth gathered into the focus of ideas brought light instantaneously. The first edition's amazing revelations instructed its readers how to regain, how to realize their divinity, their ever-present God-being. Its radical spiritual statements descended upon the human mind with startling power. Its divine unveiling of man's true identity as spiritual quickly conferred an awesome power to heal. Within a few short years, this healing power spread over the entire globe. By 1910, the year she left us, there was scarcely a village or hamlet in which were not to be found living witnesses to the healing power of this truth. Quote, "The first edition of her most important work, Science and Health, containing the complete statement of Christian Science, was published in 1875, unquote. She called it the precious volume. It is the prophetic little book in the hand of the angel, Revelation 10. While her subsequent 431 editions continually clarified the system of divine metaphysics set forth in the first edition, there are no statements in these following editions that go beyond certain mountaintop declarations found in her first edition. In it, she clearly spells out the momentous spiritual truth that, quote, "principle and its idea is one, and this one is God, your true being." See, for instance, first edition, pages 222 and 51. She states she revised Science and Health only to give a clearer, fuller expression to its original meaning. Spiritual ideas unfold as the reader advances. The following statement by Gilbert Carpenter explains, quote, "Mrs. Eddy revised Science and Health because it did not present Christian Science in a form sufficiently adapted to the needs of the world. No one will ever know the spiritual thought and effort Mrs. Eddy expended in order to step down and accommodate revelation as it came to her, so that it could be comprehended by the beginner. She knew that that which when sown bears immortal fruit enriches mankind only when it is understood. In fact, she once remarked that she'd brought Science and Health down as far as she could without losing it. She reduced it to a system which would enable the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based. Mrs. Eddy knew that God wrote Science and Health. I simply held the pen, she said. I was a scribe under orders, transcribing what God indicted, a scribe echoing the harmonies of heaven in divine metaphysics. This is why she was an ardent student of Science and Health, and always saw new and higher meaning in what God had dictated. So holy, so high, so far above our human comprehension was her discovery, that only by small degrees does the human mind catch glimpses of the wonders of her revelation. Her mission was to find the way of salvation for all mankind. What her students had to overcome was their fear and the seeming reality of evil, error, sickness, sin, death. Therefore, Mrs. Eddy stayed down on their level, seeking to find a way by which they could meet the hypnotism that kept them in darkness. Constantly divesting them of their ignorant view of God as a limited person, she gave them a better understanding of God as infinite, unlimited good, and imbued them with a love for spreading over the world the gospel which had been revealed to her. There are a few who contend her sacred first edition prophesied in Revelation 10 should not be read. This is the enemy sowing tares among the wheat. We know that Mrs. Eddy always showed profound tenderness and affection toward her first and all early editions, which were written at the same time she was writing most of her other writings. And we do not think the illumination of Science and Health was less than what was written concurrently with it in her lesser works, such as miscellaneous writings. In 1891, 16 years after Mrs. Eddy wrote the first edition, and after it had been succeeded by 4 subsequent major revisions, including the 1891 50th edition, she gave us her high estimate of the first edition in the above-mentioned article, The Precious Volume. This lofty evaluation of the first edition will remain forever intact in retrospection and introspection. Few are aware of the sacrifices and cross-bearing Mrs. Eddy endured to break Earth's stupid rest. Her students, for the most part, preferred to stay in the Adam dream state, so long as it was pleasant. While she was realizing the unreality of all materiality, her earthbound students were asleep in the dream of good matter, health, prosperity, and success in matter, blind to the necessity of overcoming the false claim of material good, which is no more real than material evil. Transformation of consciousness called for. Many statements in the first edition make it clear that your own right mind is God. Mrs. Eddy's profound writings call for a mental and spiritual transformation of consciousness. They call for the detaching of mortal thought from its material conceptions, in order that we may give birth to the divine idea. This, in turn, fosters practical daily living of the kingdom of God within us, within our individual spiritual consciousness. Before Mrs. Eddy began writing, she proved the wondrous healing power of the truth she had discovered. It enabled her to reveal man's innate divinity, to heal hopeless cases of sin, disease, death, and to teach others to do so. Her words and deeds were the offspring of the divine love that had become her mind. This made her the way-shower to this age. It enabled her to teach the reader that his mind, his true consciousness, is God, Spirit. This teaching initiates the phasing out of materiality, of belief in matter as a reality. While the material Christian Science organization is disappearing, Mrs. Eddy's ideas are taking hold in the higher branches of learning. They are not called Christian Science, but they are the ideas that were hopelessly original with her that she voiced and wrote a century and a quarter ago. This truth that she taught is today incipiently preached from pulpits and is also beginning to be taught and practiced by the world's foremost medical men, as well as by today's leading physical scientists. Additionally, her ideas are gaining acceptance by the general public. The next 10 years are bound to bring a tremendous change in mankind's viewpoint. Healing, Mrs. Eddy taught, is but the result of right thinking and right living, knowing the truth, having the right viewpoint. Love is the secret of it. Love which forgets self and dwells in the secret place in the realm of the real. Since God, infinite good, has already made everything perfect, prayer cannot change anything except to bring us into harmony with what already has always been. God's work is done. Christian Science has come to reveal man as God's image, the idea of the infinite good that is the kingdom of God within our own consciousness. God giving all, and man having all that God gives. Therefore, whatever changes result from prayer must come in our thinking, since infinite good, our principle, is already pouring forth more than we accept. No one can destroy this inalienable heritage that makes you the I am that is one with God. True prayer, then, is not asking God for love. It is learning to love. It is laying down the mortal concept, putting off the hypnotism that makes us see mirages, see evils, discords, troubles, right where only infinite good is actually present. But the practitioner must consider his ability to cope with a case. Quote, "Wisdom in human action begins with what is nearest right under the circumstances, and thence achieves the absolute. Christian scientists are harmless citizens that do not kill people either by their practice or by preventing the early employment of an M.D., unquote. Disregarding Mrs. Eddy's admonition on this important point has recently caused the unfavorable press publicity. Medical doctors can lose millions of cases. It is routine. But if one child dies under Christian Science treatment, it is cause for great concern. Hence, Mrs. Eddy's timely counsel. Evil of any kind is nothing more than a mistaken concept. It is not a result of wrong thinking. It is wrong thinking. Therefore, as we correct our thinking, right manifestation takes care of itself. If the healer realizes the truth, his patient, either himself or another, will be healed, since there is only one I or us, only one mind or consciousness. And one with God is a majority. Because in reality, the Christian Scientist is alone with his own being and with the reality of things, he possesses sovereign power to think and act rightly. In mathematics, the principle doesn't come to us and give us the answer. We get the right answer only as we learn the principle and are in harmony with it. God can give us no more than he has already given, namely, all. Because everything hinges on understanding, Mrs. Eddy zeroed in on Jesus' statement, quote, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We must gain a correct knowledge of the letter of truth, and then abide in that correct letter. This alone enables us to make the transition to spiritual life and reality. Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy were saviors because they showed mankind by example and teaching how to heal every trouble by gaining a correct view instead of believing the hypnotism of the five physical senses that hold humanity in bondage. Many times Mrs. Eddy tells us that the enduring, the good, and the true are spiritually real, but that only when we express the enduring, the good, and the true in our thinking will our life experience correspond. Only as we do God's will do we experience divine goodness. She therefore urges, be of good cheer. The warfare with oneself, the laying off of the hypnosis that has held us in bondage, is grand. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You do this when you turn away from listening to error and entertain right ideas. Awakening yourself from the dream of life in matter, you gain the understanding of the allness of spirit and the consequent nothingness of matter. You live, move, and have your being in reality, in love, since the one mind is your mind. Your clear perception of the reality, which is wholeness, harmony, and health, will free you from any error that tries to come to you to give it life. By seeking first the kingdom of God, you gain the only thing that is real, namely, love. The love that must flow out from you, and which alone is your true being. The vanquishing of matter is a central event of the 20th century. Everywhere the powers of mind are ascendant. World thought is rising morally and philosophically to free itself from the canker of materialism and accept Mary Baker Eddy's teaching that, quote, all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. We will find increasingly good experience only as we understand the nature of being and are lifted up from the earth. The divine revelation of Christian Science brings to view the world of spirit, of reality. It proves practically that the ideal is the real. The purpose of this fourth volume in the author's Mary Baker Eddy series is to specifically call attention, through the use of Mrs. Eddy's own words, to the many ways in which she shows you your divinity, that you, in reality, are not mortal, but immortal. You are a divine being at one with the mind, which is infinite good. The references selected for consideration from the first edition of Science and Health will reveal your divinity. This book also calls attention to the many ways in which Mrs. Eddy arouses and awakens mankind to the universal hypnotic suggestions which hide humanity's divinity, which hide your divinity. Mrs. Eddy's work on earth is an astounding achievement. It completely fulfilled the Bible prophecies concerning the Comforter promised by Jesus. The little book open in the hand of the mighty angel, the woman of the apocalypse, as well as the many other prophecies made concerning her work on earth in both the Old and New Testaments. Her name, like the name of Christ Jesus, will become ever more sacred as her God-appointed mission to complete His works on earth is more and more fully comprehended. It has been said that Mrs. Eddy was like a star whose light is long in reaching this world. Her divine inner life was hid with Christ in God and manifested the working of Spirit. It enabled her to bring the second coming of the Christ to suffering and sinful humanity. We are still too near her advent to take in more than a fraction of the height, depth, and breadth of what she has brought. This will be better done 1,000 years hence. At this time, the magnitude of her accomplishment cannot be calculated or even imagined. To attempt to present her in her true light and life by calling attention to her highest teaching, which has been the purpose of the author's volumes on Mary Baker Eddy, not only glorifies Mrs. Eddy, but also glorifies the reader in proportion to his understanding of what she teaches. Her life work was such a tremendous spiritual achievement that no human pen or tongue, other than her own, can possibly honor or portray it. Yet, books that explain the science she brought to humanity are needed to help translate thought out of the mortal, the hypnotic state, into the immortal. They help all mankind make the transition from the material to the spiritual point of view, and to establish her revelation securely in our consciousness. She therefore warned, quote, "We err in thinking the object of vital Christianity is only the bequeathing of itself to the coming centuries. The successive utterances of reformers are essential to its propagation," unquote. This volume goes forth with the hope that it will help propagate, to extend or enlarge, says Webster, your understanding of your divinity as you bear with Mrs. Eddy the burden of discovery and share with her the bliss of seeing the risen Christ, God's spiritual idea, which in reality you are. Part 1. Let There Be Light. Brief 1. Humanity asks for enlightenment. Understanding brings light, dispelling darkness. In Homer's Iliad, thought to be the oldest surviving work of Western literature, there is a scene in which we hear a fervent cry for light. In this story of war and human passion, we come to a fierce battle raging on the blood-stained plain before the city of Troy. The battle is between the warriors of Troy and their Greek enemies. The god Zeus, in order to help the Trojans, causes darkness to cover the battlefield. In that awful darkness, a Greek warrior prays with a loud voice, quote, Father Zeus, deliver us from the darkness and make the sky clear. Let us see with our eyes. Slay us in the light, if slay us you must. The Greek warrior's prayer for light expresses the irresistible compulsion to see and understand, even if that light would mean his death. Long before the Greeks, and long before the Trojan War, the hunger for light existed. 6,000 years ago, in the fertile crescent of the Middle East, the ancient Chaldees initiated what we call civilization. Their contemplation of the star-studded heaven with its beauty, grandeur, order, created the urge for a deeper knowledge of their surroundings. Civilization began with the hunger for light. The Chaldees' yearning, indeed the whole Western world's burning desire for understanding, which ran parallel with the Bible revelation and history, has carried mankind forward, as desire for an understanding of God is prayer. The early Greeks and their philosophy. As the primordial cave torch was gradually replaced by Athena's lamp, which began to provide enlightenment for mankind, Greek philosophy tried with the power of the human mind to understand and to replace the darkness of the unknown. As early as the 5th century B.C., Parmenides, according to the Columbia Encyclopedia, taught that change and plurality are illusory, that being is one. For how could being be produced? Either from not being, which is non-existent, or from being, which already is. Hence, being is changeless, eternal. Of Socrates, Mary Baker Eddy writes, having sought man's spiritual state, he recognized the immortality of man. His immortal words, know thyself, implied a search, not a destination, a search for that understanding which is already yours. Socrates' extraordinary eloquence attracted many thinkers, but his questionings enraged the pompous, the vainglorious, and the spiritually ignorant, as spiritual utterances have ever done. When in 399 B.C., Athenians gathered to sit in judgment over the 70-year-old Socrates, for, among other things, introducing strange divinities, what they heard was not a plea for forgiveness, but a proud, dignified accusation of the verdict. Socrates declared that what he deserved was not the death sentence, but rather a reward for attempting to force his fellow citizens to face truth and justice. Regarding individual liberty and human dignity, Socrates' words ring as true today as they did 2.5 millennia ago, when he addressed the misguided Athenians. Socrates believed his mission was to teach men that the unexamined life is not worth living. He defended that mission before his ancestors, who condemned him to death. He learned that if you want to make enemies, try changing something. An Indian proverb says, he who would speak the truth should have one foot in the stirrup. As it was long ago with Socrates, so it was with Mrs. Eddy a century ago. She could not speak openly concerning much of what came to her. The world was not ready for it, and telling it would have been casting pearls before swine. Today, when we bring the world's attention to deeper truths revealed to Mary Baker Eddy, we are doing for her what she could not in her day do for herself, when the world's antagonism and hatred toward her was so intense, so overwhelming. Only by using great wisdom did she prevail. She never failed to return good for evil. She maintained her cause by her unfailing trust in God, and by ceaselessly showering all mankind with spiritual blessings. How to know oneself rightly. For Socrates and the early Greeks, the question was how to know oneself rightly. Thus, the quest for light began with the search for the right questions that would endow facts with purpose and significance. And as early as 500 BC, the Greeks began asking those right questions. Questions which were never answered until the advent of Mary Baker Eddy and the divine science she discovered, revealed, and founded in human consciousness. Jesus had demonstrated truth, but how he did it was soon lost. In the opening chapter of Stanford Vieira's new book, Awake Thou That Sleepest, is an interesting and factual account of how true Christianity was lost when materialism, worldliness, doctrines, creeds, ritualism, and desire for human power, the 2 × 2 = 5 mentality, entered the Christian church and drove out the purity, spirituality, and love for one another that had made possible the spiritual healing practiced by Jesus and his followers. True Christianity was thus lost to the centuries, until the advent of Mary Baker Eddy and the second coming of the Christ, the Comforter, promised by Christ Jesus. Mrs. Eddy's great revelation and discovery in 1866 gave her the inspiration and insight to interpret the scriptures spiritually. This brought to humanity's attention a totally new standpoint, a new reality, something entirely different. A complete revolution of thought came with her momentous divine revelation and the founding of it in human consciousness. It taught us not to judge by the appearance that hypnotism causes us to see, namely, a material world rife with inharmony, sin, sickness, death, and sorrow. "The one evil is hypnotism," Mrs. Eddy wrote to Augusta Stetson. "Is mortal life a dream?" she asked. "No, it is hypnotism." For this cause came Mary Baker Eddy into the world, to destroy the works of hypnotism. In the flesh, we are a partition, wall, between the old religion in which we have been educated and the new, living, impersonal Christ thought that has been given to the world today. From Miss Lenny's writings. The stone has been rolled away by human suffering. The question now is, what can be done to help humanity in this transitional period to learn the truth through understanding rather than suffering? Through study, we can begin to understand Mrs. Eddy's great revelation that we are never dealing with sin, sickness, death, and sorrow, because in reality, none of these exist. We are dealing only with universal hypnotic suggestions, illusions, since outside the material sense of things, all is harmony. Existence, separate from divinity, science explains as impossible. For this reason, you do not have to struggle for godlike qualities. You have them. You are a composite of every quality found in infinite good, just as a ray of light is a composite of every quality found in the sun. And when you affirm this truth, even though human reasoning and sight say it is not true, you will bring it to pass because it is already the fact. Your existence can never be extinguished when you come to realize you are not a physical body, but are an individual consciousness in which imperishable life and limitless mind find individualization as the visible you, the incarnated you. The baptism of the Spirit of Truth will cleanse from all sin, giving mortals new motives, new purposes, new affections, all pointing heavenward. The accession of spirituality will govern our aims, acts, and ambitions, giving prudence and energy, giving steadfastness to resolve and success to endeavor. Because her discovery that hypnotism alone veils our present perfection, and the basis she laid down for physical and moral health was so hopelessly original, and humanity was so unfamiliar with the subject, Mrs. Eddy knew she would have to demonstrate this discovery, this science of the Christ, before a book on it would be practical. She then spent the next 9 years healing all manner of sin and disease, and teaching others how to do so, before publishing her first edition of Science and Health in 1875. As the world progressively gains spiritual understanding, the effect will be similar to waking from a dream. The most solid conviction held in a dream vanishes utterly, while an existence of which the dreamer was completely unaware in the dream becomes, upon awakening, a fact immediately taken for granted. Mrs. Eddy brought to light the understanding of the kingdom of heaven, the reign of harmony that today and forever exists between infinite good and its expression called man. Discerning the principle of Jesus' holy heroism and Christian example, she apprehended in his healing ministry the operation of divine law. With ineffable awe, she perceived Jesus' purpose in not questioning those he healed as to their disease. She saw the power of truth in the power of mind over the illusion called matter, when Jesus said, "Stretch forth thy hand," and the withered hand was restored whole as the other. The healing didn't take time, any more than a teacher needs time to correct 2 times 2 equals 5 on the blackboard. To a student, Mrs. Eddy explained, "Jesus knew that God's substance does not cease to be perfect just because we are ignorant of its perfection, nor does it become perfect because we find out the truth. Its wholeness does not depend upon our degree of enlightenment. It is eternally perfect because it is eternally just what God, infinite good, is. Only illusion hides its perfection. There is no power anywhere to make it anything else. If we are looking at it through a mental fog, opinions, doubts, fears, confusion, we shall not perceive its perfection. But that does not change the body itself any more than looking through a fog changes the sun. All the thought that the earth was flat didn't flatten the earth. The only thing that changed was man's thought about it. Of course, until he reached that place, he lived as though his ignorance was the truth." Mrs. Eddy realized that the understanding Jesus had must, through spiritual education, become our understanding. All that our present ignorance does is to affect our vision, our view of things. It does not change anything infinite good has made, any more than an ignorant view of mathematics could change the principle of mathematics. The science of being recognizes you as an undying manifestation of God, just as Jesus recognized Lazarus, even though he had lain in the grave 4 days. Jesus, never thinking of himself as different from you and me, said, "I go to your Father, mind, and my Father, mind." He recognized all humanity as his family. When alerted that his mother and brethren were waiting for him outside, he answered them, saying, "Who is my mother or my brethren?" He looked on them which sat about him and said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever will do the work of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." What was the will of God? It was love, truth, life. When the leper cried, "I am unclean," Jesus saw only the perfect man, clean as infinite good itself. When the 5,000 that followed him into the desert place were hungry, Jesus entertained no thought of lack, but told them to sit down, and he multiplied the loaves and fishes just as easily as he took the tribute money from the fish's mouth, or as easily as you and I would multiply 2 times 5 equals 10. At the tomb of Lazarus, he prayed only to the kingdom of God, the Father within his own consciousness, knowing that this Father, his own right mind, hearest me always. He said, I and my Father are one. How could it be otherwise when he knew that the kingdom of God within his own consciousness was his heavenly Father? This Father, infinite good, the divine principle, includes all within itself, just as the principle of mathematics includes all calculations within itself. To the Christ mind that was the mind of Jesus, the material world, which always sees 2 times 2 as 5 with all its sin, sickness, and death, was just the mist that went up from the earth and hid the correct view of everything. Behind this mist, Jesus at all times saw the real man, the real universe, ready to be revealed to anyone willing to cultivate spiritual understanding. What prevents our seeing reality? Hypnotic suggestion alone blinds us. Universal hypnotic suggestion fosters our belief in 2 powers. Hypnotic suggestion alone stands between us and the instantaneous healing of any seeming evil or error. We know how instantly we correct 2 times 2 equals 5. The hypnotic suggestion that grips the world is the same, as if the entire world believes 2 times 2 makes 5. There is but one right answer to 2 times 2 makes 5, just as there is but one right answer to the plagues of evil that seem to beset mankind. Jesus knew there was but one power, namely Spirit, and declared, It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. He emphasized, The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit, and they are life.